Hello, everybody. What is up? It is February. I cannot believe it is already February of 2023. Just yesterday, it was 2000. I promise you, it was my senior year in college. It was the year 2000, the 99 and the 2000. Okay, I know I got a little excited, but I want to welcome each and every one of you to tonight's Lanes of Communications. We are excited. Yes, we. If, just in case you forgot, Melissa Ambers is joins me for these Lanes of Communications conversations. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the importance of humanizing workplace communication. Yes, humanizing. Like, well, how? What do you mean? How could it be? And so, we really want to talk about what does it mean to humanize communication, how people can do it, how they can do it better, improve upon it. Because let's be honest, we're looking at the layoffs and you're like, what? How could I know y'all, but you, and you're like, why? And so you're looking at people wondering what in the world is going on in the workplace today. So Melissa and I are going to be talking about that today. Talking about how do you humanize communication in your organization. Whew, because we're seeing some stuff right now. It's like you worried about you really you some of these people really worried about laying off people and saving money, but they probably haven't thought about what they're going to do when it's time to hire. And what people are going to remember. So anyway, Melissa, what's up? How are you today?
Man, it's been one of those days, but I mean, the unfortunate part is that in 2023, we still got to have some of these same old conversations. It just don't make sense.
Look, some people don't ever learn, and you know, I think I know the problem, but I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm gonna leave it alone. For now, we don't get into it, but I'm gonna leave it alone for now. So that's the caveat. So I'm gonna let you kick this off because I love the way you have been framing this conversation that we've been having around communications in the workplace.
Well, just like you said, that we are human, we are people, we are individuals, and we need to start being treated like that and not more so like it's a dictatorship or I'm the boss, you the employee, do as I say, you know, that type of mentality that so many just simply don't realize that how. You don't realize how it's affecting just day-to-day operations. Something as simple as listening, something as simple as having a open conversation. And so many are just in that mode of, having the title and not really working with the employees and in the organization. And, honestly, the title is just that, a title. But you are put in that position because you are a leader in whatever capacity that may be, but you are a leader. And being a leader means that you have people that you need to guide. You have people that is looking to you for direction. And if your direction is just point and being a dictator, we defeat the purpose. So, as Michelle said, just kind of get into the human to human connection, understanding that we're individuals. I'm human just like you are. I have feelings just like you do. Just like you want to be treated with respect, so do I. So, it's kind of one of the things we really want to jump into because we see it a lot. And post COVID, it started to shift a little bit. We thought we may see a little change, but we did know it was not going to be for everybody. That was a given. But we started to see a little shift and a little change. But I'm actually starting to see, and I'm sure you are too, Michelle, starting to see it kind of go back a little bit to, what it was that you're starting to, have people in, you're hiring people. And you have the same, mentality, the same attitude, and you wonder why your door won't stop turning. You keep having that rotating door and investing time and money hiring and recruiting. Yes, you may not see it up front, but if you really sit down and put all those numbers together, you're going to start seeing that bottom line look a little funny. And I promise you, it's from the rotating door of hiring. So invest in your people, and it's not always monetary. Time is huge when you're investing into your people. So let's get right into it and talk a little bit about this human to human connection. How people are, you know, it's almost like they're invisible and they're not recognized in these organizations. So what are your thoughts on that, Michelle? Or, you know, how we're kind of shifting back to what we were. We're not seeing that change get better. It's kind of either leveling out or going the opposite direction.
So I want to tell a story that happened to me as a probably a teenager. I'm thinking I was in high school. I might've been middle school age. And I remember the conversation ending like this. I said to my mother, "Well, he's just a janitor." And my mother said, "There, no one is just anything. You should be thankful somebody's cleaning up." Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something that completely changed my life. Every place I have worked that I can think about, I've worked, if the janitors were there, housekeeping, whomever, maintenance, I knew their names. I remember I was working in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in a client's office. We were in the basement. And I ended up learning the cleaning lady's name and the two maintenance guys' names. And one of my coworkers was like, "How do you know their names?" I said, "Because I speak to everyone. Everyone matters." Right? And so what we saw at the beginning of the pandemic, essential workers, they didn't all of a sudden become essential workers.
Yeah.
They have always been essential, right?
Yeah.
But people felt they were low-level, thankless jobs. And it changed from thankless to thankful to having them there at the onset of the pandemic. And we should be thankful that somebody's cleaning up our mess. We should be thankful that somebody's packing our eggs at $6 for dozen, right? And they're not crashing. Because you know right now, you cry. You're going to cry at them eggs. And so if those eggs crack.
Yes, ma'am. It's like a friend. Okay, we're going to put this down real slow.
Exactly. Like this. It's like gas or eggs. And so it's really important that we do self-assessments of how do we treat people outside of work, outside of knowing who somebody is from a job title or what car they drive or neighborhood they're in or college they graduated from. It is truly looking at a human, as a person, somebody has feelings, emotions. And classism has built into that and strayed away and pushed people aside because of what they may or may not own and have. And I think the pandemic for a while brought that back into perspective. And so we see at certain points in time where that matters. 9/11 changed a lot for a time here in the US. I remember in 1989 here in South Carolina when we were hit by a Category 5 hurricane. It changed how people engage, and it even changed donations. Like I remember people, my aunt and uncle, their house was destroyed during that hurricane. And people were writing them letters, like they didn't know who the stranger was going to get this bedspread they were sending it to from Kansas, right? From Kansas. Like, I don't know what Mom, can we pull out the globe or the map so I can see where Kansas is? And people writing notes, like just pouring out in emotions and saying, you know, we hope you recover and you're doing well and things will turn around for you. But it takes so much for people to engage with others on a human level when it's a stranger. And how do we do that on a regular basis? And more importantly, inside of the workplace, because that's where a lot of us, or not even in the virtual workplace, which is on a Zoom or virtual space, still humanizing people. And so I just wanted to bring that in, that we've seen it at one point and we see ebbs and flows of it change, usually around disasters, usually around high stress points, I'll say, within society. But it really needs a continuous effort and practice in society overall. So I'll turn it back over to you.
Look, keep going. You hit. I mean, you gonna put a stop sign on it like that, man. Yeah.
And so what I would say as far as the workplace, I know we have a lot of things we're gonna try to get to. We're gonna try to not do it in an hour. We may not hit 30. We're gonna try to do at 35, 40 minutes. But really understanding the importance that people play in your life may not always be a doctor, a surgeon, right?
Yeah.
It may be the bus driver. It could be, for some people, the Amazon delivery person. Because whatever's in that package is going to keep your child quiet, right? Going to soothe them. So parents can get peace of mind.
It's going to keep us sane.
Exactly.
It's going to be us.
It could be something that you need. If you're like me, you have sciatica and you're like, I need this tennis ball to show up because I can't leave the house, but I needed to help roll out this nerve because I'm in pain. It's so many people. It's those times when you're just thankful that there are people doing something that you can't do, especially right. at a time of need. And I think we need to be thankful all the time. Cause like, look, I did not have to put that on a truck or in my vehicle, drive it home, unload it. All I had to do was bring it in the door. And sometimes you catch the delivery person, they'll bring it in the door for you. Yep. So we really just need to be thankful that people in a lot of aspects are giving us our time back to do other things as well. So what is sometimes the value of what people do for us? Them bag it, like I shop at Aldi's because it saved me money, but I'd be like, I might need to go down to the Piggly Wiggly because they'll bag it for me. Because I don't think like, they break the eggs, you know. I'm covered. If I break days, it's on me. So we really have to understand the value of what people do. And if your aspect is, I have to think about it and they get them giving me time back and providing, then do it that way. But please understand people are valuable and invaluable actually, and really being thankful for them.
Yeah. And a lot of times it is a simple thank you. You don't need to say nothing else or do nothing. It's just a simple thank you that, you know, shows the appreciation. So, but I think that takes us into, you know, the communication, the humanizing communication, which is, you know, trust and respect. And, you know, just that whole piece of, you know, knowing you're talking to another person. And that communication, the way that you're talking, and granted, and I am truly guilty of it, where, you know, you're saying certain things and people take things the wrong way. Then there's times you're like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't mean it how it sounded or, you know, or how I came across. That wasn't my intent. I meant, you know, X, Y, Z. So, you know, understanding that and not, you know, we got to get out of ourselves of that's just who I am. That's just who I talk. No, you got to, if somebody came to you one way, they would say the same thing. You're going to be in your feelings. So it's that human to human communication and connection to where you have to understand the person that you're talking with. And if they did feel a certain type of way, what's the big deal? Say, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. We're moving on. And just leave it at that. So that's also part of, you know, showing some integrity, caring, and just, you know, showing that human, it's humanizing. It's that simple. And some make it bigger than what it is, but it's truly that simple of just being a human and open communication, talking, being respectful to each other. And just that integrity of, you know, throughout that conversation or the relationship, if it is a long-term relationship or someone you're going to be around a lot. And most people that is working, you know, regular jobs and even, you know, small businesses, you're in business. So you're working with people all day long, more than you are really with your family most of the time. So, you know, take the time to do that. And you know, sometimes I know it's hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say it's that easy. I get it. But, you know, just taking the time to have that opportunity to get out of yourself and understand the person that's, you know, you're in front of connecting with.
Absolutely. And you know, what What struck me as you were talking about trust, respect, integrity, caring, movies and cartoons we grew up with. So Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Mm-hmm. These things that we were supposed to learn as children. I don't know, the Grinch, right? And if you try, it's like what happened between these lessons being taught as mm-hmm. children to morphing into adults. And I know things happen. Everybody's going to have bad days, but every day you treating people, dehumanizing people is not where you should be. And so oftentimes we need to reflect on our feelings because hurt people hurt people. And you may need to go seek professional help to understand what's going on, but also to understand when there's also for those of us that when we see somebody dehumanizing somebody else, how do we step in? And I literally remember this one time, one of my former coworkers was being, I'll say, chastised by an executive in the company at his cubicle.
Oh, wow.
At his cubicle. And what happened was another guy from another team went to our admin and said, hey, can you stop him from doing that? And so the admin, like, okay, she went and got our senior vice president to go talk to this man. Mm-hmm. Do you know what happened? He lowered his voice.
That's typically how that happened. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because there were no repercussions to his behavior. And oftentimes when we talk about toxic workplaces, we talk about poor cultures. That is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
People not being able to have conversations, people not being able to provide criticism and feedback mm-hmm. in a constructive way in a non-public setting. Mm-hmm. And then it completely breaks down. It was to the point this particular employee just stopped coming in after a while to that office. He just worked somewhere else. And I would go back, I'd be like, yo, where's like, he's working such and such location today. Like I remember when I left that project, I hadn't seen him in a year. And so I was not surprised when after a while, I just stopped coming and just stopped asking if he was going to be there because he literally just stopped coming in and started avoiding that particular executive because he reported to him and he couldn't get out of that role. And so when we think about the workplace, understanding when you do things like this, it did not just impact this one coworker. Nobody else, including me, wanted to work with this particular executive. To the point, I remember my mentor at the time, he's like, hey, I can get you on that project. I was like, I'll never work with that man. And I said, I literally took the layoff. I'm like, he's like, no, you don't have to report. I was like, no, you don't understand. I will never work for the man. Lay me off.
Yeah.
Because that just showed poorly on the entire company mm-hmm. because the man was literally there at that point for 30 years.
Yeah.
So they already knew and they mm-hmm. made that decision to keep him. So it's an expensive cost for some companies, but they seem to find a way to cover those costs for mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, instead of giving the necessary people a raise, they're covering the cost for something like that. And it goes to, like you said, the culture of that environment, because whether that guy lowered his voice or not, that was not the first time that he's done this. And if this particular employee was the type of person to be like, okay, first of all, you're going to lower your voice back up and kind of, try to correct the situation. Now that supervisor would have got offended. They would have wanted to either terminate or write them up for insubordination and a list of whatever else that they may tack on. But again, regardless if you're my superior or not, there's a way that you should talk to a person. It's not your child that you're reprimanding. And talking to another adult, another human, like that, and expect them just to sit there and let you just, talk to them that way is insane. And supervisors, you know, they want to be respected, but the old saying goes, you got to give respect to get some.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. So let's see, because look, like you say, we're going to limit our time. So we're going to, I mean, we could stay on this for some hours, but let's move on to our next one, which is emotional attachment. We'll stick with the same example, you know, prime example for this employee, you know, it could have been, he's been there for so long, or he adjusted his lifestyle to make sure, you know, that was the place he wanted to, you know, be, and, you know, been there for, you know, X number of years, and you get attached to those jobs. Not to say you attach in a sense to where you get lazy and just don't want to go anywhere else, but it could be the culture, the benefits, the location. It could, you know, there's a list of things that could have someone to attach them. They could just really, really love the job that they're doing. And having someone to dehumanize you can shift all of that. You can go in hating everything about that job, not the task to be done, but just being in that place, it makes everything just seem horrible. And so I think, you know, with that, it's still, you know, humanizing and talking to people. Even if, like you said, we all had a bad day and I came and I'm just talking to you and not even realize I'm yelling at you because I'm already, you know, frustrated with something else, you know, it's okay to say, hold on, do you want to go take a minute before we had this conversation or we want to come back to it? You know, let them know. And oh, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you, you know, or I don't want you to seem, you know, that, you know, I'm coming down on you or anything. So it's okay, leaders, to take a step back and to accept criticism, critique from, you know, people that report to you. And sometimes it may not be criticism or critique. It could be simply that, you know, you want to step back for a minute and go breathe or go smoke a cigarette or step outside or whatever. And then we'll have this conversation later, or either we can have it tomorrow. You know, so I know that it should be okay, you know, to do things like that without leaders being so defensive.
I love it. I agree. It's, we can get tied to an employer, to a brand, even to the work we do. I can say a lot of times when we see marginalized people doing work, especially in a nonprofit space, the treatment may not be the best, but they're there because of the work they do and who they're serving. And so it becomes very painful for them both ways. It's painful when they leave, but they can start to heal, go through the healing process from the trauma they're enduring, but they may have to go to a job or a place where they don't feel as though they're providing a service or impacting community and other marginalized people. And so it can really be tied to so many different values we have. Even if I see a lot of women go into environmental engineering, sometimes you're coming through a civil engineering firm, you're one of few women. And so you may be encountering a lot of barriers there too, but you like the work you're doing. You like focusing on clean water. You like focusing on clean air and emissions and really doing that work. But the environment may not be very welcoming to you. And the communication styles are very different and can be very difficult. So now you're torn about what to do and where to go. And so it's sometimes we think like you're seeing the huge layoffs in tech. And a lot of people are tied to, oh, I work for FANG, which is now a main company. So Facebook, Amazon, what's the other A? I'm gonna get to it. Netflix and Google, I forget what the other A is right now, but they're really tied to those companies when actuality they bring value to the company. Their skill set, their knowledge, their abilities really are what makes the company be able to do what it was. If not, it would just be a sign on a building. And AI is not that far enough along. Well, we don't think so anyway, to run Google on its own without human interaction. And so sometimes the communication we endure to be tied to those brands, but also what I've noticed too is how people communicate because they work for those brands, right? Oh, well, I work at such and such. So it can have an elitist type way of communicating, right? Oh, you only work there. And so we really have to also be mindful of how we tie ourselves to things. And so it's always interesting when I see people have X whatever behind a X dash, EX dash, a company name. And I was like, oh, okay. But it's their thing in tech. Let them roll with it. But also to understand those companies aren't loyal to you the same way that you may be loyal to them. And you can see that in how they communicate it during layoffs, right? You can see how they communicate it. Like, oh, we sent everybody an email that morning. Knowing there was an opportunity that people are going to miss, why not just let people know at the end of the day? At lunchtime, like, here's your lunch break. Here's your lunch to go. Having conversations, having managers spending the day or two letting people know. They're like, I have a team of 50. Okay, how many are you letting go? 17. Well, that's 17 20-minute conversations you're about to have. And just go through and have those conversations. Because it really was important to be able to do that. And that human-to-human engagement was taken away. And a lot of these employees that are left behind, not even the employees that are there, they have a set of it. But the employees that are still remaining, how they are looking at you and your inability to humanize communication when their coworkers and their friends, their jogging, their workout partners, right, were let go. And so you really have to understand that humanizing these particular points in a person's career are really, really important. So.
It is. And it's the simple things. And I think we got to get back to the simplicity of communication. And part of that is technology, is we put technology in the place of the human to human interaction, from terminating people via email, text messages, certain communications that should be had in person, even if it's a phone call, you know, still having that human to human communication and not sending a text message, sending an email. And a lot of these large companies are doing that. They're sending an email, letting them know, okay, well, this is your 2-week notice. You know, I can only imagine what some people, you know, would think. But, you know, for me, I'd be like, what the hell? What you mean? 2-week notice? I need to go talk to somebody. Hold on. You know, so it's having those connections. And that takes us into, like, recognition. Recognizing your employees. It's not always about doing a huge shindig party or spending a lot of money. Sometimes just really going, you know, hey, I appreciate that. You know, thank you for catching it. Thank you for staying on top of this. Or, you know, good job stepping up. You know, just simple things like that to show people that you appreciate them. And, you know, some companies that are large enough that do have the budget may, you know, give a bonus or, you know, give them a gift card to lunch or a movie or something. It's showing some type of recognition. And me being in a leadership role, I've been with companies that just really didn't do that. And I would go in my own pocket sometime and, you know, give them at least a $20, $25, you know, gift card to a restaurant or, you know, to a movie or something. So I've done that myself. For some employees, even though the company don't recognize. I'm not saying that you should do. That was just my thing that I did. But a lot of companies should have something in place as they're, you know, deciding on their budgets and where they're going to allocate money for different things. They should add in a bucket for recognition, employee poof day or whatever they want to call it, you know. So I think that should be part of their discussions when they're outlining that pie chart, what's going to have what to do that and allow these departments to do it. And companies have to, regardless of the tenure of a person, I don't care if they PhD, doctorate, whatever degree or letters they got behind their name, that should not be a factor on, well, we need to keep them on payroll if they're not treating employees with respect. It's sometimes you might need somebody that don't have, you know, all them letters lined up behind their name. And I was actually talking to somebody today about that, you know, regardless of what piece of paper you have and what you want to call yourself, it really doesn't matter. You know, I know a lot of people and come across a lot of people with all of this stuff added to their name in front and behind, and they just don't have simple common sense. So paper doesn't matter. That ain't really what I want to say, but, you know, we'll stick with that. But so they just need to have some simple common sense, you know, regardless of what it is. And so many companies are relying on, oh, well, they got to be a MBA or a PhD or, you know, whatever else they want to call it. And why are you putting so much focus on that? It seems like you're focusing more on them having these letters you want them to have instead of the actual experience and skill set that a person has, because those are the people that's going to be able to execute and to get the things done that need to be done, and not so much to say doctor or PhD or MBA or whatever, you know, the hell it is. You know, who cares? I'm not saying that you shouldn't. If you're getting it, great. If you have it, great. But employers should not let that be a factor when they are looking for talent. That's not how you're going to attract or retain a person. There's people that's been working 20 plus shifts that don't have a degree, but they can run circles around somebody that have a PhD or a doctorate or whatever. So look more so at the skill set, the experience, what do they have? And not somebody that's going to come in to say, I'm in an office, dress up every day, kick their feet up on a desk and be a dictator, and then talk down to somebody else that may not have a piece of paper. Because at the end of the day, that's all it is a piece of paper. Yes, you do, you know, you learn some things or whatever, but, you know, it's a piece of paper. And that's not really putting you in the position where you need to be at. And the amount of money these organizations are paying people just because they have a piece of paper, they really need to refocus and look at their recruiting policy, the HR policy, who's putting these job descriptions together, you know, all of these different things. Who's coming up with the rules for this? So go back to the chalkboard and redo your play. We need another play. This play is not working. Bring you a whole new playbook. Put your X's and O's and your arrows and all of that stuff. But it's just not where organizations should focus as much as they are. And if it's time for them to really change that and shift the mindset of why they're doing that, because not only will they continuously have a rotating door, but you're not going to be able to keep the talent that you want. Now you're going to be upset that, why do we have to keep hiring people? Why do these people want to stay in their job? Why are we bringing these people in and they're not able to produce? So you're bringing in one person that you think should be able to handle the job, but now you got to bring in two or three more for this one position, because this one here can't handle it. They got the sheet of paper, but they don't know how to execute. They don't know efficiency. They don't understand efficiency. They don't know how to be productive. They know how to do bare minimum to push a piece of paper across the desk, small, pretty, dress pretty, and go collect a nice check. So organizations really need to refocus on that and look at the playbook for their hiring practices. Your thoughts, Michelle?
I want to read a comment we have. I've had a recruiter ask if I applied to a business analyst role by accident because apparently they wanted someone with an MBA but wasn't anywhere in the job description and the role was not a senior role. Even if it was a senior role, do they really need an MBA?
Right.
Yeah. Yes. For some of these MBA programs, just college tuition in general, let's not even say that, but the college for an MBA has to be high, is expensive. Were they even paying enough to cover or warrant somebody with an MBA? It is too often they're like, oh, we want 12 years of experience, a master's degree for $35,000. And we're like, where?
Yeah, I did one just out of curiosity. I start going on, you know, some of the job sites, Indeed, Monster, and looking at something like, not even an executive administrative assistant, but just an administrative assistant. You want them to have an MBA. Yep. I'm like, why? That just simply does not make sense. Let me go read the job description. Maybe it's something more than what I'm thinking. Go read the job description. You just need somebody that have the experience and have the tenure, you know, that did this and have the skills. This is not called for an MBA. And again, you're paying under $50,000. So exactly. Absolutely not. You know, if you want somebody to step in with an MBA to really step in, execute, do the things that you need them to do, minimum, and this is still low, but minimum, you need to look at least 80. At least 80.
It depends where you are in the country. I literally remember just administrative assistant, executive assistant. A woman I know, she's in Pittsburgh. It was the early 90s. And mm-hmm. she saw this job posted in a newspaper because that's where you went. Yeah. And she said she could do everything in it. She said, except it had this computer thing in there. She's like, I don't know what that is. She's like, I'll learn it. And so she applied for the job. Well, it was a tech startup and it ended up getting acquired by Intuit. And they were like, oh, well, you can move to Silicon Valley. But the salary they were paying her to move from Pittsburgh to California was not commensurate to, she was like, we're going to have a job. We're moving completely across the country from my family. She was like, no. So you can have,
and you're right.
And you still aren't being able to provide them and help with finances to do a cross country. It doesn't add up, and not, at least they communicated with it. But the other thing I wanted to go back to was what we're seeing now in the workplace is more companies saying they're looking at skill set. We still haven't seen it show up in job descriptions yet.
Nope.
Let's talk about that. But what we are hearing is they want to go back. And 20 years ago, we had a lot of companies that did management training programs. In the early 2000s, 90s, they did a lot of management training programs. When I was an undergrad in engineering, they literally had what they call COW requirements for us. Now, communication, oral and written. So we had to take speech. We took technical writing because they knew on average, engineers were very poor communicators. Now imagine now you have somebody who's very poor communicator. They're a great electrical engineer, but bad communicator over the first team of 5 or 10 engineers. It generally didn't work out too well. And so it's a lot because they aren't today, even worse because they aren't training them at all. They're like, oh, well, you do well as an engineer. You should leave them. Like, no, leave them where they are until you train them on how to better to communicate in speaking verbally, in written form, in shorthand, meaning text, DMs, and Slack messages, all of that. And that really isn't being cultivated, especially at the mid-management level, the first level of management. And then when they do get to it, if they make it, it's in an executive level and they're like, well, I haven't been doing the last 15 years. Like, yeah, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be cultivating this skill set of communication overall earlier in the career because it is valued very much. I have a career coaching client she knew she was a really great communicator, and she was an engineer, and she literally was getting people on the plant floor who ran production, been there 15, 20, 30 years. They were performing better for her than any engineer that had been there the same amount of time, because she had a way of communicating with them that the other engineers did not. And so she knew how to leverage it to get her projects and work done. But you know what happened? The other engineers didn't like her because she was able to communicate to such a degree with everybody else. And so we really have to explain to them, they don't like her better because she communicates at a different level and skill set. And even if my client went to try to help other people, they took it the wrong way. And she was really just saying, oh, if you communicate this way, they find it better. They react better. I want to read another comment. Finding a lot of places do not have training past entry-level jobs. Just want you to know everything versus training on skill sets based on potential. Yes. Okay. That is very, very, they literally like, we want somebody to come in and hit the ground running. I don't know nobody. You want an Olympian? Even Olympians, guess what they do? Guess what they do? It's 4 years between the Olympics. Four years between winter. Four years between them. You know what happens in those 4 years? Do you want to guess, Melissa?
Lot of training. And this is just not the physical training, physically, your food, your intake, your lifestyle, your entire lifestyle has to change to even think. Your lifestyle has to change even if you want to just run a marathon. You know, a short, you know, in your neighborhood marathon. So forget even trying to be a, you know, go to the Olympics. That's like, come on, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when I hear these things, I cringe. I'm like, so how long have you been? 18 years. I was like, seen a lot of turnover. Yeah, we have not. It's not a great fit. For most people, because they're not going to come in hitting the ground running.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is reading those job descriptions really start telling a story about what the culture is like, because they're communicating with you sometimes very clearly. Then other times when you go through the interviewing process, they are clearly communicating with you about what the culture is really like. Mm-hmm. And then other times you're going to have to dig more to understand better about that manager more specifically, because as I say, a company can have a culture, a location of that company can have a different culture. And then within that location, you can have subcultures. And so it's really important to understand what you're walking into. So I'm like, oh, I love working there. They work for a completely different VP who's a senior director down to senior manager than you will. And so the culture can be completely different for the team in which you go work. And so I had a very time when I remember the first construction project I was on. It wasn't even maybe 10 of us from my employer on that construction site. We generally didn't work overtime. We literally came and did that time and went home. This other guy, it was like every day was a work day. It was like Groundhog Day over and over again, because it was seemed like it was a 12, 14 hour work day. Now, then I realized, you know what? He never going to stop unless I stop him. Guess what? I just left. This much.
Yeah.
To sit here and watch him go about how the world keeps turning and needs to stop for him. And so you really sometimes, the communication sometimes has to come from us, right? And we have to communicate and tell people how I'm human, how you would treat me as human, and how it can be very difficult for marginalized people to do that, women, people of color, disabled people, people who are non-Christian to do this. But I highly encourage you to do that, because now you have set boundaries. You're starting to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. And they're going to push, because for as long as we haven't had these boundaries, they are like, I don't like this new place. I don't like the new you. And like, you know what? Every 2-year-old has to become 3. And every 3 year old has to become four. And so you're going to get out of the terrible twos or the terrible threes, and you're going to be four. So I'm going to let you go through that scene. And sometimes you have to have a discussion with them. But definitely set your boundaries so the communication can work both ways to let people know you will not treat me this way. What comes will come, but you can definitely I don't even say put a line in the sand. I say put it in the concrete because I'm a civil engineer. It's going to harden. That line ain't going to go nowhere unless you bring it down and move it. So I want to get some final thoughts from you on humanizing communication.
Well, I think one of the final thoughts would be is kind of, picking back off what you were just talking about on, with the whole rotating door and, the hiring process and the job descriptions, this goes to, some employer branding that, so many organizations, we do our websites, we get the mission statement, all these different things out there, but all of that's for your consumer, that's for your customers. But what are you doing internally? And that employer branding will help with some of that, not some, but it will help with that, helping your candidates to understand, what the company is about, who, the culture there, who they would be working with. All of these things should be included in this employer branding for those particular positions. Now, based on how large the company is, your departments and all of that, you may have to have multiple ones throughout that organization, but your standard employer branding will talk about the organization in a whole, but you have that extra cherry on top, if you will, that talks about specifically that department, the people they work, who they will be working with, how the management and all of those things will work. So it's really, looking at that and just being on top of how can you attract and keep those employees at your organization? Because if you can retain those candidates at your organization, not only is that it shows a place that anyone would want to work, because now these candidates, they're going to go on social media and talk about how happy they were at work. Oh, this my employer gave me a gift card, those type of things. It's just highlighting all of those different things that you are doing for your employees and just letting those employees know. So it's really staying on top of, all of those different things. I'm going to look over here and look at our comments. I know y'all keep seeing me look this way. My screen is over here, but look at so many comments. But I think that with this employer branding and, companies understand that they need to have that in place can help with some of this human to human communication as well. Because now that you have that, your leaders will be trained on that and they will be expected to follow what that is and not come up with their own, whatever they may call it over there. But that I think will be a huge shift in company culture and how leaders are treating employees and how a company can retain the right candidates and decrease the cost of hiring, because that is so big. If you really look at your numbers, that. But a lot of companies don't even pay attention to it. They just know hire somebody. And the money you're putting into doing all this hiring, interviewing, job descriptions, and all these other things, it's just, it will eat at your profits.
Well, some people like to put a lot of money into recruitment. And nothing in retention. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But that's the reality, though. That's like the
dating. I like the dating part, that relationship part. It's work. We'll just hire somebody. Like literally, you would not believe some companies' recruitment budget, and they're sincere. Yeah. People just keep quitting. Well, why aren't you figuring out why they quit?
That right there. Let's figure out why they are quitting instead of just, putting a job description out. You get a job description. You get a job description. You get a job description.
They never take them down. That's just it. They never take the job down. The job description down. Why take it down? You know the person's only going to be there 3 months.
The only thing that they do is just go in there and change the date because, you know, it expires after so long. Go in there and adjust the date so to stay up there.
I know it's we're laughing, but it's really sad, some of these practices.
It is. You know how it's so sad that you have to laugh at it because it's like, how can you not see this and understand this and start making these changes? Instead of wasting the money in all this recruitment, invest that money into bringing somebody in to help you figure out why this is happening and what can we do to resolve this. Put the money there and not in recruiting.
Well, I think one of the reasons they can, it doesn't go to retention efforts, right?
Yeah.
Somebody could be held accountable for why people are leaving. If you don't ask questions, you don't collect data, people do not have to be held accountable. And so I say this because organizations, we do diversity recruitment and positive hire, and people will often, we're having trouble. Like, well, how many Black employees do you have? Well, not that many. Well, how many left in the last 12 months? The ones that are there, how long have they been there?
Yeah.
Right? The failure to measure does not mean you're trying not to be held accountable. It's like you want to lose weight, but you don't want to get on the scale. You don't wear waist beads. You don't want to use a measuring tape. So what exactly? You're like, I must wear the same, you know what? I'm going to wear the same muumuu. I'm going to figure it out. I don't know. And I'm sitting there like, well, if the muumuu didn't get tight or tight, I'm good. It's like, you're not measuring you're not measuring the right thing. And so right now there's a big, big push, you know, on figuring out how to measure DEI efforts. Well, what was your turn rate? What were your PIP rates? And so there are things in there you can measure, but guess what? Who's going to be held accountable for when they fail? And so oftentimes they want to push it back to Chief Diversity Officer. Well, let's talk about some of these managers. Oh, you like them, right? So that's a whole other discussion. But that's what I'm seeing as one reason why they have so much focus on talent. Because if you look at retention and recruitment, talent recruitment, because when you look at retention, you're going to have to hold people accountable. You're going to have to make change, do some change management, and you do not want to do that. Oh my God. So I'm gonna say this as we wrap up. In wrapping up, I'll say the ability to communicate in your organization on a human to human level with empathy, with sympathy, with compassion, with joy, and to recognize your employees is not a bad thing. It is extremely important in how you communicate on a daily basis, whether it's verbally, in written form. Written form can be very, very different ways. If it's sign language, whatever that form is, it is very, very important that you humanize that. Also understand, and I had to catch somebody today, they were ordering food on the phone.
Yeah.
And the person didn't understand the word special. Instead of them slowing down, they're like, you know what our tendency is? To get louder.
Take it louder. Can you hear me? You can't hear what I'm saying?
Yes. And so it's really important to understand through training via on communications, how to slow down when you have a communication or a language barrier, especially if you're not in front of the person. And so it's really important that we understand there are different things that we need to change about how we communicate, whether it's changing our intonation, for different people, our organizations. It is not always doing things verbally, but sending it in writing. It is also speeding up or slowing down our language because, you know, I'm a Southerner and I used to work in an office with a lot of people from the Northeast. It's like, you talk too slow. I say, yeah, but I dance fast. That's why I talk slow. And so that would make them laugh. Like, that makes sense. That makes sense. But really having a way to communicate is very important on so many different levels, and training that at all levels throughout your organization. Because if you're not doing with your front customer facing roles, we always think about executives because they're going to go talk to other executives and the board. But your customers are who are interfacing with your frontline people, your essential workers. You need to be paying attention to them, and you need to be investing in them past entry level, but focusing on those roles that are communicating the most with each other as employees, as well as your customers. So change that and really focus on that in 2023. So when we're going to be back. We got a gap. I have a virtual summit coming up. We'll be back February 28th. We're going to wrap this up in February. So if y'all have missed the Lanes of Communication, this is the third edition. We have the fourth and final one coming up. Y'all missed a lot. We're going to wrap it up. It's probably going to be an hour, 15, try to tie everything into a bow for y'all on what it looks like in the workplace with employee branding, with talent retention, when it, and just workplace culture all wrapped around communication. So everybody, Melissa, you're excited for February 28th?
I'm excited. Look, I'm over here writing right now. I'm like, okay, how you need to mention this. Yes, ma'am.
So everybody, check us out. We'll have the next event up, February 28th event up next week. We hope to see you join us. If not, just DM one of us and we'll send you the link for that broadcast. You don't want to miss it. Everybody have a great week and we will check you out later.
Bye.